battled. They battled the waves in a storm from 9 to 12 hours. How do I know that? Because we talked about that last week. Jesus came walking on the water at the fourth watch, which is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And it tells us that they left in the evening, which was 6 p.m. That's when evening starts for the Jewish people. They didn't know it, but Jesus was on the mountainside. They were alone for those 9 to 12 hours battling the storm. And oftentimes, we are battling storms, and we feel alone. We can't see him. They could not see him, but he was up on the mountainside praying all along. And like I told you last week, one of the pictures that I saw was a little mountain. There's a little mountainside up there. I kind of pictured Jesus. That's where he was. He could see them in the distance, and he was praying for them. He had his eyes on them. They were in that storm, and they were afraid for their lives, but he had his hand on it. And so, let me invite you to take this sheet, turn it over to the other side, as we continue our study of these verses here today. At the fourth watch, Jesus came walking toward them. And that's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And they thought it was a ghost. And in the Greek, it's phantasma. Phantasma in the Greek. And really, it could mean ghost. It means phantom. It means an apparition. They were scared. They were scared when they saw him walking on the water. We read it. We saw the video. I don't know about you, but I'm sitting there and I watch this I don't know how many times in preparation. If your heart isn't pounding a little bit, you got to check, am I alive? Let me see here. Am I alive? Let me yawn one more time. That is powerful. That is powerful. He said, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. In the English, it is I. In the Greek, it is ego eimi. And it means I am. The great I am was there. That is the name of God here in the Greek. I've told you so many times that Yahweh is God's name in Hebrew. Yahweh. Y-H-W-H. No vowels in Hebrew. And it means I am he who exists and dynamically involved in your life. And every time I talk about that, I always tell you that I can remember times in my life, early in the ministry, when things were as hard as could be, that I would say, Lord, if one more thing happens, I'm done. And of course, one more thing always happens in our life. And I knew what Yahweh meant. I said, Lord, I can't see it, but I'm trusting that you're dynamically involved in this. I can't see it now, but always, 5 months down the road, a year down the road, 5 years down the road, I see it. Ego eimi, the great I am was there. The great I am. He was there then. He is now with you, with me, in the tough times when you can't see him, he's there. God is working even when you can't see him working. When you're alone in the storm or you feel like you're alone in the storm, he's there. He is there. Ralph Abul was a professor at Wheaton College, a Christian college in Chicago. He's now moved on to another seminary to teach. But he tells of the time when he was teaching at Wheaton that he was on the USS John F. Kennedy. And he said he was watching as the jet fighters would take off and as they would land. And he would stand there watching them take off and land. Then he was told that the captain is always on the bridge during this time. no matter how long it is, many, many, many hours, the pilots are taking off and landing. He is on the bridge watching for them. And it could be many, many hours. He may take a little quick night cap or a little cat nap, but he is always watching. And he was told, and the pilots know that their captain is watching for them because he is worried and cares for them. Well, our captain is always watching us. He is always, always watching, even when we can't see him. The thing is, the pilots knew it. Do we know it? Do you realize he's always, always there? Even in the tough times, he's there. Verse 28, Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And of course, we read Jesus says, come, come. Peter, of course, got out of the boat, started walking on the water. And we know the story. He saw the wind. He saw the wind, took his eyes off Jesus, saw the wind, and started going under. And he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus says to him, you have little faith. It's easy to concentrate on Peter. It's easy to think that he was with him the whole time. Why wouldn't he just trust him all the time? He started walking on the water. It's easy for us to criticize him. But many, many, many years ago, I read this book. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat, by John Ortberg. And I believe maybe a number of years ago, I believe one of our Sunday school teachers might have been Bob, might have been Wayne, taught that to us. It's a DVD study. It is about this incident. Let me read to you just a little bit what John Ortberg has to say. He says the 11 in the boat were bigger failures than Peter. They failed quietly, privately. No one saw them. You know, we can see Peter. He tried to go it, and he, of course, was sinking. They failed quietly, privately. It went unnoticed, uncriticized. They stayed where it was somewhat safe in the boat. Peter was the one who exhibited a certain amount of faith. So let me ask you, John Ortberg says, what is your boat? Your boat is whatever it is that keeps you so comfortable that you don't want to give it up. Wow. Okay, now you're dismissed. You can really go home. And that was such a good book. I remember it so well. And he deals with it, all of that, that whole process. How we look at Peter and we think, he should have known better. And he's criticized, of course. But the other stayed in the boat where it was safe. They didn't have to worry about being criticized or anything. They were safe in the boat. Let me point out three things concerning this, concerning Peter at this. Peter was sinking, but he asked for help. Peter was sinking, and he asked for help. I can't tell you how many times, and I've been a pastor a long, long time, that I may know someone who is going through a rough time of some kind. And of course, if it's a man, just a little too macho to talk about it. Got to keep it in because I'm a macho man. Peter knew he needed to have help. Sometimes we, as men and women, do not realize that there are people out there that can bring comfort to us. I know I've experienced that I've gotten comfort in those very, very rough times many, 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 many years ago in beginning a work from nothing. The smart person is the one who realizes we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. We need one another. That's what the church is. Second, Peter failed, But at least he got out of the boat. At least he got out. At least he tried. Did he learn from that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If you're a Christian and you have a heart for God, you always learn from your mistakes. The bad thing is not ever getting out of the boat and just staying there and never growing and never learning. We learn more from when we fail than when we just mosey along. That's where we learn the most. Third, little faith is better than no faith. Little faith is better than no faith. A person with no faith would not recognize Jesus. A person with no faith would not call on Jesus. A person with no faith is on their own. Is on their own. Faith isn't merely your holding on to Jesus. It's Jesus holding on to you. Which is what we see here. It is Jesus holding on to Peter. We're always, and we need to grasp, we need to hold the cloak and hold on to the cloak of Jesus all the time. But at the same time, realize he's holding on to us even when we don't realize it. He is the one that keeps us afloat in the tough times, in the very, very tough times. I can remember when I was a little boy, maybe about 7 or 8, I was riding my bicycle at the time, and I fell off my bike. I can't remember why I fell off, and my head fell under a car wheel. A woman had just gotten in the car and started her car. She had no idea my head was underneath. She didn't even see me. There were some 19-year-old guys standing on the corner. And they said, "Stop, stop, stop." I looked back. It was God. I know it was God. I know it was God. Somewhere when I was about 12, there was some lakes, and swam out to where a little raft was. And I thought, oh, okay, this is pretty deep. Around 12 years old, stood on the other side of the raft made out of wood, and I dove straight down into the water, and splat, I hit my head on the concrete bottom. I could have broken my neck. I mean, I dove straight down. Now, there was a cut here and a cut here and a cut there. But of course, if we know anything about Johnny Erickson, that's what happened to her. I could have broken my neck. It was God. I know it was God. Then, my mother never knew about this one. When I was in college, belonged to a group where we had an opportunity to travel all over the world and all over the United States, and we would go up to Wisconsin and put together a show. And the government sent us all over the place. And there's a huge Lake Nebagamon. It's huge. And I was friends with this one athlete, and he said, at lunchtime, hey, you want to swim across the lake? I said, sure. I said, sure. I was pretty athletic. I worked out a lot. However, I didn't swim like that. We got about halfway out there. And Paul said, maybe we should turn back. I said, that's a good idea. I didn't think I was going to make it. I didn't think I was going to make it back. I thought, I'm going to drown. And I had to go on my back and kind of like kick my feet. I was tired and exhausted. I looked back, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. And I'm sure you have incidents like that. I'm sure you do. Where you kind of think maybe those things happened to you and boy, wasn't I lucky? No. That was God. That was God. Only God. So let me ask you, what is doubt? What is doubt? Doubt is uncertain belief. Doubt is uncertain belief. It's belief, but it is uncertain belief. It is uncertain belief. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. You know what is? Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. It's unbelief. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. The Bible doesn't warn us against doubt. It warns us against unbelief. It warns us against unbelief. Doubt is honest questioning, where we have questions. I'm not sure. The question. Remember the book of Habakkuk, where it's saying, Lord, why is this happening? Why do you let the unjust get away with so much? And we see those kinds of things happening all the time. It's been said, and I think there's a lot of truth to this, you never really believe until you doubt. You know why there's a lot of truth to that? Because if you don't question and you just merely accept, there will come a time then where you just kind of throw it out. But when you question and then you have to go look for the answers yourself, that builds your faith. I can remember a couple years ago telling you about an incident that I had when I was a young Christian. A pastor, and I won't mention his name because some of you would know him, but he's getting kind of old now, told me that Jesus is not God. He's the Son of God. And I thought, that doesn't feel right. But I was questioning and looking a lot because I was a young Christian. Just came to Christ. Very young. And I thought, I don't believe that, but I'm going to go search it out. And of course, I went through the scriptures. And of course, the main one is John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And I thought, how can he say that? It's plain right there. It's plain. But my questioning made me find scriptures that built my faith. That built my faith. When we experience pain, anybody ever experienced pain here? Nobody, right? I'm the only one that has sore this and sore that. You know, sometimes people will ask me, well, how are you doing today, Pastor? I'll say, oh, not so good. They say, well, my shoulder hurts, my knee hurts, my stomach hurts, my head hurts. Of course, I'm kidding all the time saying that. But we all have pains. You know what that pain does? That pain tells us there's something wrong with our body, and we need to check it out. You know what doubt does? Doubt tells us there's something wrong with us spiritually, and we need to check it out. If we don't check it out, if we don't check it out, that's when we can get into trouble. The danger, when we have doubt, the danger is to do nothing. When we have doubts, if we just, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I... The danger with doubt is to do absolutely nothing and just to go on with that doubt and not searching and investigating. Doing nothing can cause you to go into a kind of apathetic kind of... So, let's take a look at some causes of doubt. What causes doubt? Well, one, we fail to see God at work in our circumstances. And we don't see God working because we have certain expectations. This is the end we want to see. But it's not necessarily the end that God has. We forget that God is sovereign. God is God, we are not. But we want God to do what we want him to do. We want to be sovereign instead of God being sovereign. And God always has a reason. He always has a reason for what he chooses to do. And I have discovered, and I hope you have too, that even if I'm not comfortable with it, there's a good reason for it. I have to learn something, I'm sure, from this. I don't know what it is, but I will learn it in time. Two, What causes doubt? A lack of knowledge and understanding about God. A lack of knowledge and understanding about God. When I was a young Christian, I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I wanted to get all of the stuff I could possibly get. I wanted all the knowledge I could gain. I read all the time. I had a hunger for the things of God, a hunger for Him. If we don't know God's ways, we'll be disappointed in His response. If we don't know how He does things, we will be disappointed and we'll back off and say, well, hey, because we expect something else. Three, we have doubt because you don't feed your faith. You have doubt because you don't feed your faith. How many of you eat every day? What about the rest of you? Don't have your hands up. What do you do? How are you living? I eat three times a day. And I have a little snacky in there somewhere. Three times a day. What would happen if I ate maybe only once a day? I would lose more weight than I already lost. If you're not feeding, what can we expect? What can we expect? The same thing happens to us spiritually. The same thing. You ever hear of the Welk? I'm not talking about Lawrence. You ever hear of the Welk? Did you? Bob, one person heard of the Welk. You might want to reward him with something. I don't know what. That's up to you. That's a Welk. The interesting thing about a Welk is it feeds on oysters. It has a little appendage, like a little thing, we might call it an arm or something, and it burrows through the top of an oyster, like a corkscrew, and it sucks out the oyster little by little. Aren't you glad you came here? You could go talk to your friends tomorrow about whelks. The same thing can happen with doubt to us. If we choose to do nothing with a doubt, that doubt will suck out our faith. It'll suck it out where we'll be powerless to withstand the arrows of the enemy. And he's always shooting arrows. That enemy's always shooting arrows at us. So what can we do about doubt? What can we do? Well, simple things. We know some of these things. Admit that you have them. Don't play pretend with yourself. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore your doubts. I think you've been here to hear that's not the thing you want to do. Admit that you have doubts. Admit it. Some of the greats had doubts. Abraham doubted God's promise. We saw what happened as a result of that. Job doubted God's goodness. Even John the Baptist had his doubts. Did you know that? Even John the Baptist had his doubts. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 3, John the Baptist says, "Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" He knew Jesus was the one, but he was going through some doubts. He was going through some doubts in his life. Jesus can handle your doubts. He's not afraid of your doubts. He doesn't back off and say, "Oh, you know, why don't you go back to first grade Christianity again?" He can handle it. Two, what do you do with your doubt? Borrow some faith. Borrow some faith from someone. We all have times of weakness. My experience is we like to hide it, though. That's my experience. We hide those weaknesses. We don't want to talk about them. We don't want to admit them. We keep them because we don't want people to think that we're not spiritual. And so we keep those weaknesses and our doubts hidden. We all have them. Don't fight the battle alone. That's what the church is. And that young child said, amen. That's an amen you're hearing. Talk to someone. We have some pretty spiritual people here. Talk to them. Talk to me. I love breakfast. I love lunches. Sure. Yes. I will buy the first one. Act on your faith, not your doubts. Act on your faith, not your doubts. David, you think he wasn't afraid to fight a 9-foot-tall giant? Hey, I'm David. I'm not afraid. Joshua, going around Jericho. Daniel, oh yeah, they're throwing me into the lion's den. I'm not afraid. You think they weren't afraid? Just because we read the scripture, these things happened? They're human. They're human. Don't you think they would have had those doubts? They didn't know in advance what really was going to happen because they've seen God act in many different ways. And here's the last one. Go back to what you know. Go back to what you know. And you're saying, what does that mean? For I am persuaded, Paul said. I'm just going to give you one example of go back to what you know. This is just one example of what that means. This is the most basic. The most basic part of Christianity. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 38, Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is, God's love is the most basic idea and part of Christianity. Go back to what you know. That is basic. That I know. That I could hang on. That if He loves me, if He loves me, I know that no matter what, it's okay. I may not agree, I may not be happy, but I will learn through it all. In 1979, the Cahaba tugboat was on the Tombigbee River. And rather than tell you what happened, let me show you what happened. Phenomenal, isn't it? That tugboat was on the Tombigbee River, and as it got closer, the current picked them up, and the person in charge reversed the engines, 1,800 horsepower, trying to go, but the current was too strong, got that tugboat, took it down underneath the bridge, under the water, and it came back on the other side with the pilot still in control. Still in control, and off it went for those barges. You know why it was able to do that? Because of the ballast on the bottom of that tugboat. On the ballast on the bottom. Do you know what enables us as God's people to keep on going? Not just, it's not willpower. That's what Christians, that's what everybody else does. It is the ballast that we have in Christ. That I go to Him every day. And I can't do anything without Him, and I know it. And every morning I seek His face. And I seek Him in the good times, and I seek Him in the bad times. I know how desperately I need Him because I knew what it was like before Him. And it's the ballast that we have. We may go under for a while, just like the tugboat and just like Peter. We'll come right back. Come right back. Amen? Amen. Amen. Musicians. Amen. What a beautiful choir. What a beautiful choir. You should be up here hearing what you sound like. God bless all of you this week. Get these truths deeper in your heart, please. Please. One more thing again. Forgive me for this. Please come next Sunday night. Please come next Sunday night. Please come next Sunday night. The elders will be up here to pray for you for any special need that you have. Pastor Stephen will be over here to share the gospel with anyone who does not know how they can get into heaven, or you think you're good enough to get into heaven on your own. If you think your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, Jesus said, "Be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect." If you're not perfect, no matter how good you are, you're not going to get into heaven. Pastor Stephen, you dismiss us.
Dear Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this time of worship, of prayer, of gathering together, Lord, of hearing your word, Lord, which is powerful. We pray that we'll take the truth, Lord, and we pray that we'll draw close to you. We pray that we'll feed ourselves more, Lord. Just as we need food, we need spiritual food, Lord. And we pray that we'll be feeding ourselves, Lord, more and more each day. I thank you for this time, Lord. I ask a blessing on everyone here in the precious name of Jesus.